Hey, everybody, it's Brian Fritz. Thanks for listening to the Between the Ropes podcast. Always appreciate all of the support everybody has given for so many years. And I do hope that you can support us on a new project that we have right now, and that is our Patreon campaign. If you go online to patreon.com/betweentheropes, or just go to betweentheropes.com, we've got the link up in the top right-hand side. And if you can support us there, that would help us out so much. We want to keep doing Between the Ropes for a long time to come, and I want to make sure that we even do more when it comes to Between the Ropes. And so many people have supported us for so long, and I want to make sure that that continues. And if you can help us out there, that would go a long way in helping that happen. You've liked us for so long, you supported us, so if you could do it there, even for as little as $1 a month, it would be fantastic. If you want to do more than that, you can as well, but even just $1, that would be great. And you can see some of the different goals and different things that we have set up on Patreon and how you can help us out. If you see value in what we do, please support us, and I hope you consider our Patreon campaign. Now, if you cannot afford to contribute anything right now, I totally get that. You can support us in so many different ways when it comes to subscribing to us on YouTube or on a podcast like right here with iTunes or on Stitcher and just checking out BetweenTheRopes.com. We always appreciate your support, but we hope you consider us when it comes to our Patreon campaign. Thanks, everybody, and thanks for listening to Between the Ropes.
Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. It is the live Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz. He is Michael Wiseman. If you know something different about Mike this week... Well, we have to do this every week. Well, two things, first of all. Number one, there is a huge difference about Michael this week. If you notice, he does not have a place where he can pull down to talk on his headphones now because he's got like a real pair of headphones, I guess. Is that correct?
The other pair was real too. I don't know how you define real. They actually had sound come through the cans over my ears.
But I mean, they're used more for – they're not used for gaming.
Right. And these headphones are – technically they're used for gaming too. So I
let the cat out of the bag right off the
bat. It's sneaky though, because I got this nice, sound like we're promoters here. Now I got this nice exclusive Sony PlayStation Gold wireless headset that I can plug in. You wouldn't know unless I turn around like this and you can play.
Yeah. I see that.
See the logo right there. But these bad boys are comfortable. And nice. What's cool is they're Bluetooth, right? So if I'm playing a game, right, I'm Call of Duty-ing or whatever the kids do these days, there's no mic because it's built into the headset.
Yeah. And also, we have to get this out of the way too before we get to a couple
that
of
plugs. That was a terrible story. I'm sorry.
That was depressing. I do need to know this. What is the beer of the week?
Oh, all right. The weekly Between the Ropes beer of the week sponsored by – well, actually, we're not, so I can't say that. But what I'll be drinking on today's show is – New Belgium Snapshot. It's a wheat beer. It's got a picture of a camera, so you know it's both hipster and fancy. And it will be delicious. And hopefully the alcohol content is less than what I had last week, because by the end of our show, I was feeling a little incoherent.
By the way, we are not going to go like almost 2 hours like we did last week. We'll try to keep it a little bit more concise, to keep it to around a 90 minutes, a tidy 90 minutes as we run through everything that's going on in pro wrestling.
Are you ready for this? Let's do it. Okay.
There it is.
All right.
Good. So we do appreciate everybody for joining us here for the weekly podcast, watching us live. Or if not, you can always listen to us on the Between the Ropes podcast. Couple plugs. Check us out on BetweenTheRopes.com, of course. Also, subscribe to us here on YouTube. You can do that by just clicking on the subscribe button. And not only subscribe to us here on YouTube, where you can get all our latest videos and check out all the other videos that we've done, but also feel free to share us, please like us, and make comments as well. In fact, we got the chat room open here on YouTube where you can chat throughout the broadcast. And when you go to BetweenTheRopes.com, you can also subscribe to us podcast, so you can get all the audio podcasts, which is this show plus some other ones that we do during the week. You can subscribe, whether it's on iTunes or on Stitcher. We've got the buttons right there. Scroll down just a little bit. It's on the right-hand side of the page. And when you subscribe to us audio version, please rate us and review us. That goes a long way to helping us out. And one other plug here, and that, of course, is with Patreon. That would help us out so much if you can support us on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Telling you, it goes a long way, even if it's for as little as $1 a month, and supporting us and allowing us to dedicate more time to doing this so we can continue doing this on a weekly basis and continue doing BetweenTheRopes.com, but also will allow us to be able to hopefully do more broadcasts going forward. So even just $1 a week goes a super long way. I understand that not everybody can do that. And if you can't, I get it. You can support us in a lot of different ways by subscribing to us, on whether it's on YouTube or it's on iTunes or on Stitcher, all those different things, by checking out BetweenTheRopes.com. But if you can support us by giving us $1 a month or even more than that, that would truly help us out. We've got different pledge goals set up on our Patreon account. Plus, we've got other goals that we've got set up there on our Patreon account. So if you can support us that way, it'd be fantastic. And plus, we're going to be doing some giveaways coming up here to encourage you to pledge to us on Patreon as well. Why are you making that face?
We're giving giveaways, like the secret word of the day, right? Ah, giveaways.
We do have giveaways that we are going to. So if you are subscribing to us, or if you are supporting us through Patreon, we're going to have giveaways for
all
you.
Right. And what are we giving away? I got this beer. I give you a beer.
No. Why don't you tell everybody we're going to be giving away?
All right. We will be giving away an exclusive copy of WWE 2K15 for the PC. Now, you'll remember this only came out just a couple months ago. It lagged behind the console versions, but it's every bit as good. It's every bit as intense. If you'd prefer a mobile version, we can get you one of those as well. But next week, live on the air, we are going to draw names from our Patreon subscribers to see who wins this. And here's what's really cool about it. We have, you know, about 13, 14 subscribers so far on Patreon supporting what we do. We greatly appreciate it. But a few of those have expressed to us that they don't really care about WWE 2K15. They just want to support us. So those names are out of the hat. So right now, if we were to draw right now, you would have a 1 in 10 chance of winning your own exclusive signed by Brian Fritz copy of WWE 2K15 delivered immediately.
How am I going to sign that when it's a code that I'm going to be passing on?
Just draw it and scan your signature in, and you can forward it with the code. Yeah, let's see. But if you are a Patreon subscriber, your name will be in the hat, and we'll be giving away one copy of WWE 2K15 next Tuesday at the top of the show. Now, Brian, yeah. I think, if I'm not mistaken, we're going to start doing this on a regular basis, too.
Yes, we're going to start giving away something hopefully every week. And it's just another way to encourage everybody to support us, because we are lucky enough to have some goodies that we can give away, and we want to use that so gives you even more incentive to support us on Patreon. So like I said, it's at patreon.com/betweentheropes. Support us there, whether it's $1 a month or more than that. Anything would be greatly appreciated. And now you have an opportunity to win some goodies as well.
And you never know what you're going to get, because we're starting off with WWE 2K15. We could be moving up. You could get this nice Homer Simpson Moleskine notebook that I have. Actually, that's a present for my wife, so you can't have it. Media pass for WrestleMania. That's a possible. These Macho Man Randy Savage glasses. Literally, I'm pulling stuff off my desk right now that we could give away to you in the coming weeks. So you should subscribe to us on Patreon. We'd really appreciate it.
Sure. So, yeah.
Care Bear. I found a Care Bear. Look at this. It's a Care Bear. You want it. You got it.
Man, you got a lot of junk around your desk. Everybody can support us, and that would be fantastic for helping us out. And one other quick reminder, this coming Saturday, July 4th, an American holiday, we are going to be getting up early, and you can join us early as well, because we're going to be watching WWE Network as they broadcast live from Tokyo, Japan, the Beast in the East. Brock Lesnar is back in Japan, and we're going to be talking about that WWE show that also has some NXT stuff on as well, including Kevin Owens defending the NXT championship against Finn Balor. That show starts at 5:30 a.m. Eastern. We're not waking up at 5:30 a.m. Eastern, but soon thereafter, we're going to be waking up, and we're going to be watching that show, and we're going to be doing a live broadcast to talk about that at 11 a.m. Eastern on Saturday. So we're hoping that you can join us, and we'll talk about some other news and stuff, but we'll talk about that show on Saturday morning.
And if you've ever wondered like I always say, the best beer of the day is the breakfast beer. So we can celebrate together.
It's like breakfast at Wimbledon, but it's breakfast with WWE instead.
It's like what's that drink where you mix orange juice and champagne? You just drink the champagne instead of the orange juice.
Oh, a mimosa?
Yeah, we'll have a mimosa without the orange juice. It'll be perfect.
We'll have some mimosas in the morning and strawberries and cream like they're doing at Wimbledon. The All Lawn and Tennis Club?
I have no idea.
You don't watch Wimbledon? Come on.
That's tennis, right? That one's tennis.
We should all be wearing white right now because that's what you have to do if you're going to participate in Wimbledon. You have to wear white.
What kind of crazy sport is this? You have to wear white to play tennis?
For Wimbledon, you do. You are not allowed to wear, if you are a participant, you are not allowed to wear another color. You must have white.
That's dumb. They don't play after Labor Day?
No, that's just a Wimbledon tradition that they have. It's all white.
So, but Wimbledon is before Labor Day because you can't wear white after Labor Day.
Wimbledon's going on right now. The fortnight is underway. It just began on Monday.
What is the fortnight? I was like, the fortnight is.
Fortnight is a couple of weeks, and that's how long Wimbledon lasts, 2 weeks.
This is the sport is very confusing to me. You understand?
No.
Although I did hear Phil Mickelson, speaking of confusing sports, he's a golfer. Nobody watches golf, right? But apparently he likes to gamble too. So good for him.
Well, you may
good
have invested Phil. Some money. So
good for Phil. Lefty Phil. I love him, man.
Oof. Let's get into some wrestling. Let's start with Raw.
Talk about confusing sports. King of the Mountain, am I right?
There you go. God, we'll get to that coming up here. But let's get to Monday Night Rollins, as the kids now like to call it. It was all Seth Rollins all Monday night. Now, he had the beginning segment and he had the ending segment. But it was, we knew Brock Lesnar was not going to be on the show. And I was curious to see how they would explain that. Would they say it's an injury or what? They did not say that. Of course, Seth Rollins and his guys bragged about beating up Lesnar last week. But the other thing that was, I didn't really even notice until after the show was done, is that no Triple H, no Stephanie McMahon on the show. And quite honestly, I think that's a really good thing because I didn't really notice it. That means they weren't missed. And I think that's great that they weren't on the show, and they shouldn't be on the show every week. They honestly should just be on every now and then because it makes them more meaningful when they're there. And, I don't like the overkill of putting them in so many different segments. So it was good. I didn't really notice it until after the show. And then I was like, oh, wait, look at that. There was no authority.
Yeah, I kind of felt like they were heading that way with the way they drawed those segments out throughout the show with you had Seth Rollins being out there so much. But I don't know, it just felt like they focused on him an awful lot, and it was weird to not have really anybody else. I mean, I agree, they don't need to be on there every week. That's overkill, and they've really overused them quite a bit in the past. But it still felt like there was something missing here with just focusing on Seth Rollins and Jamie Noble and Joey Mercury all night.
Did you like the show or not?
I think it was better.
It was definitely better than the previous week, I'll tell you that. But I thought it was a good show. Not a great show, but I did think it was a good show.
I think it was one of those shows that was like, if you watched it, you enjoyed it. For the most part. There were some fast-forward spots if you were on the DVR, right? But if you watched it, you enjoyed it. And the matches were good. They weren't just long for no reason. They were good matches. But if you missed it, you didn't miss a ton. It's kind of like SmackDown was for so many weeks, right?
Yeah.
If you watched it, you enjoyed it. You didn't miss much if you missed it.
And it's funny because we talk about this opening segment, and basically it was Seth Rollins, and he was bragging about how he and Noble and Mercury and Kane beat up Brock Lesnar, and, talking about, took you to Suplex City and all this stuff. And I know that some people thought maybe the segment went so long. It went too long because basically he was just thanking his buddies after he bragged about beating up Lesnar and saying, hey, we got a prize for you. We got a prize for you. All he needed was the long, skinny mic, and he could have been Bob Barker. Let's take a little walk down here to the Golden Road.
Right, right.
Which, as a Price is Right enthusiast from back in the day, I don't get an opportunity to watch it now. But back in the day when Bob Barker was on that growing up, I loved Price is Right.
It's still pretty good. I got to give Drew his props. It's a good show.
I have nothing against Drew. It's just I don't have as much time to watch it now, but I watched Price is Right all the time. And it was just like a walk down memory lane almost, the way that Rollins was doing that. And so like he started off by giving all three of them Apple Watches, and then Kane, you never take a vacation, which is absolutely true, that Kane never does take a vacation. He never takes time off. And even when he's injured, he can't wait to come back because Kane has had so many different opportunities where people thought he was going to retire. And I know at least one incident where he was off the road for a little while. And basically they were talking about he's not going to be on the road all the time. He's not going to be a full-time guy. And Kane went to WWE management and said, I want to be back on the road full-time. I just want to be on the road. So they put him back on the road full-time. And
well, that's good though. I mean, he's one of those guys people like to make fun of, but God, he has earned his spot and he is a workhorse. He's given back.
He just loves the business. So he got a vacation to Hawaii, and for whatever reason, then they had the hula dancers come out, you know. But Kane was so happy that he got that, but it was not going to be the only thing that was given away because, you know, J&J Security, you know, they rolled up the previous week, you know, in a rental car that Seth Rollins said just looked bad and everything. So guess what? You get a new car. How about a brand new Cadillac that comes in at over $56,000? So,
so who gets that car though? I mean, my question was, which one of them gets full custody of that car?
Exactly. Right. And then Kane was sitting there like smiling, like, hey, they got a car. I didn't get a car. Yeah, they got a car, you know? So you had that going on too, but Joey Mercury standing in the car with his head out the moonroof was fantastic. And they were just bragging. And it was funny because Mercury, when they found out, they announced the car because they were, you know, obviously in the ring and the car came rolling up by the big screen, that Joey Mercury made a beeline to the car and Noble was going to run, but he can't because he's legitimately got broken ribs. So he like took a step and he was like, oh, I can't run. So he had to walk as Joey Mercury could have done like a lap around him and still made it to the car first.
I thought it was.
Mercury didn't even go around to the driver's side. He went to the passenger side.
So what's the deal with Jamie Noble no selling that injury for that legitimate injury from
that tough week? Man, didn't you hear Rollins talking about what a tough guy, broken ribs? He's there on the job.
He's taking bumps last night, man. He was like getting the crap beat out of him, right?
And,
I mean,
and well, yeah. So you had Noble there, but Lesnar wasn't there,
right?
Not because he was injured, because he was already headed to Japan. I guess Brock is a worrisome guy that is always going to be worried, especially for international travel, that something is going to go awry. So he decided to go to Japan a few days earlier than everybody else.
So, I mean, I just think that's so funny that the toughest guy in the industry, right? Brock Lesnar, the beast. He gets beat up a little bit one week and he's not on the next week's show. Jamie Noble, like the most innocuous guy, inconspicuous guy in the wrestling ring, breaks two ribs and he's like, nah, y'all, I'm back. Look at me.
Yeah. But I mean, I know some people say, when they went like 18 minutes. I like the segment though overall, because I thought it was fun. And
yeah,
you look at it too. And so many people thought, okay, go back about a year and a half. And remember, we still had the Shield together, and everybody's wondering, hey, when that day comes, whenever it is, that the Shield breaks up, how are these guys going to fare on their own? And I think most people thought Roman's going to be a breakout guy just because the size, the look. But you know what? He's got those intangibles going for him. What about the other two? Ambrose is a great talker, but he's a unique personality and a very good worker. Rollins is a tremendous worker, but can he talk? Is he going to be able to speak good enough to fulfill the role? Yet he's the guy out of the three as the first to be the WWE World Champion. And I think that he has proven, you know, all the doubters about him about whether or not he really can talk and he's going to be good on the mic. Last night to me just shows they've got so much confidence in him because he's so good that they will give him a segment like that. They'll let him control a segment that goes almost 18 minutes because they like the work that he has done and they trust him on the mic, which is just a huge endorsement to me.
He hits all of his spots. He makes every single bit of it seem genuine. He sells the moment. He's great in the ring. And he can cut a promo, whether it's scripted, not scripted, when he needs to sell emotion, he can do it all. And I think that's what's so incredible about Seth Rollins is you didn't get to see that in the Shield. You got to see him kind of coming out and beating somebody up and hitting a high spot, but you never got to see this version of Seth Rollins shine through. And so my question is, okay, people didn't like that segment because it went too long. What would you rather have seen right then? Because it was funny. There was some levity in there. It told the story that Seth Rollins is getting super full of himself right now, right? That's right. The whole thing.
He's beyond cocky, and he's still got to deal with Brock Lesnar, and he's got to have a match with him. but his buddies were there. They had his back. He convinced them to have his back. And now they're all one happy family back together again. And he hooked up his buddies with some nice gifts, because when you're the world champion, that means you are rich, my friend. You got the money. So he was able to hook up his buddies with some nice goodies.
So why? So what else would you have rather have had happen during that opening segment?
I don't know.
Another long monologue by the authority about how what's best for business. At least we had some fun. And it was Seth Rollins, who was a deserving talent.
Did you see that when Rollins was giving out all the prizes, WWE on their Twitter account had a GIF of Oprah. And it was like, you get a car and you get a car. And it was like her going like this, going, you get a car, whatever like that. And I was just like, it was like, I think everybody there in the arena was probably checking under their seat going, what do I get? What are we getting? You know?
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So that's what it was like. It was like this Price is Right, you know, Oprah moment, you know? So by the way, I think the biggest surprise of the night on Raw was that car survived the night. Because everybody, I think, thought that Cadillac is doomed. At one point on Twitter, I literally put hashtag RIP Cadillac 2015 to 2015, and I was waiting for it. But you know what? I didn't even, if I'd really thought about it, there's no way they're going to destroy the Cadillac, because the guy that's going to destroy it is Brock Lesnar. And pissed off Brock back on Raw next week, I want to see him F5 that Cadillac, okay? I am not putting it past Brock Lesnar that he cannot and will not F5 that Cadillac.
Is he back on Raw next week? I thought it was 2 weeks.
Oh, he's on next week.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I saw over Twitter people were just commenting about how that Cadillac was going away for sure. But I also want to know what these sponsors paid for that spot, because you know that Cadillac was a sponsored, like Caddy paid for that spot on TV. There's no way, because they showed the price and everything, all right? There was
Remember back in the day when they would buy a limo and let it get smashed?
That's crazy, man.
Right? I mean, it's not Attitude Era with the numbers and everything, but yeah.
And the Apple Watches? Did Apple pay for that spot too? I mean, they don't pay for anything, supposedly.
Maybe. But WWE, if not, they spent $1,500 to get those watches.
Dang.
Did they really pay for a Hawaiian vacation? Maybe not.
They paid Hawaii. The state of Hawaii sponsored Raw last night.
Yes, yeah, brought to you by Hawaii Tourism. Go there for the fun. But that segment might have gone long, but like I said, I thought it was a ringing endorsement of Rollins. And then, you know, at the end of the show, it was Rollins and Kane beating Ambrose and Reigns. And Bray Wyatt got involved in the match. At one point, the lights went out. Bray got involved. He was fighting with Roman. So the other guys beat up Ambrose. Then they were able to get the pin. And then afterwards, all the heels, they beat up Reigns. And Reigns, the story was Reigns kept fighting back. And this went a little bit long too, okay? But to me, it made a lot of sense. I understand why they did it. They were telling the story of you're trying to put Reigns down, but he keeps getting up. And then you put him down, and then he gets up. I mean, this guy was a zombie out there. But then finally, they were able to put him down. And then after they did, when it was, you know, Rollins and Kane finally put him down for good, then Bray Wyatt came out and gave him a Sister Abigail on top of that. So that's telling the story about just how tough and what it takes to put Roman Reigns down. And that alone right there makes me believe that not only is Seth Rollins going to keep the World Heavyweight Championship at Battleground against Brock Lesnar, but SummerSlam will be main evented by Rollins against Roman Reigns.
So you think that Roman Reigns is going to just run roughshod through Bray Wyatt?
He will beat Bray Wyatt. Maybe not run roughshod, but he will beat him decisively.
So where does Bray Wyatt go next?
That is a $1 million question. Dude, they don't do long-term booking on a lot of things, but especially with Bray Wyatt. They still do not know what to do with Bray. Bray's like, oh, I want to make somebody look really tough, but Bray's going to lose in the end. Okay, we'll put him against that guy for the next, you know, couple weeks or month or 2 months, whatever it is.
I just don't get it. Bray Wyatt is such a great talent. And you've had him lose so much, and you put him in this what could be a pretty high-profile feud and burn through it in 30 days or less, and then have them lose at the end of it all. I guess, okay, so you're building towards Roman Reigns going to main event SummerSlam. If your theory is correct, Fritzy, That's what we're building towards.
Yes.
Have Roman Reigns fight somebody in that upper mid card where he can beat him, and it doesn't mean the end of that person being in that main event picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. But I mean, they don't know what to do with Bray Wyatt. They haven't for a long time now. They haven't since WrestleMania. God. And there was a period even before WrestleMania, they didn't know what to do with him. So,
well, he took him off TV for a while. And then when he came back, they stuck him in that feud with The Undertaker, which was a great, great pairing. Yeah. But again, it just felt like, here's a spot we can put him in. He feels like a part-timer, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, unfortunately, man. I hope they find something more for him, because I know people say he could talk, but are his promos really good? He needs to be maybe a little bit more centered on the basis of his promos. But what he did on Monday, I thought was perfectly good. I mean, it was a really good promo. And he's an intriguing character that I think people, you know, get behind him because he's so different from everybody else. It's just we don't get to see him work that much. I mean, how often does he really have matches on Raw? They don't know what to do with him.
This is going to sound worse than what it is. This is supposed to be a compliment, but he reminds me of somebody like Abyss back when Abyss was first in TNA, and he kind of had this mystique. Like, they broke that down over the years, and they killed Abyss. But when Abyss was first in TNA and up and coming, he had this mystique around him that was palpable. It was kind of like The Undertaker back in the day. He was like, who is this guy? He's kind of creepy. He's kind of brutal. And if you'd put Bray Wyatt, I mean, Bray Wyatt can wrestle, but if you'd put him in some brutal matches, put him in some hardcore matches, let him take some vicious bumps, let him brawl with some people. God, that guy would be so over, you couldn't keep his t-shirts on the shelves.
Probably. I mean, there's something with Bray Wyatt. It's just WWE just hasn't tapped into it yet. The one thing on Raw that they have tapped into and have done a great job with since WrestleMania is John Cena's United States Open Challenge. Because each and every week, that has become like one of the best segments every week for a variety of reasons. Lately, it's because they're doing stuff with Kevin Owens. But the promos that Cena will cut beforehand are typically really good. And you never know who he's going to face. So it's like this little surprise. And we've gotten Kevin Owens out of that. We've gotten Sami Zayn out of that. So we've gotten great matches with Zayn and Neville. Even Barrett had a really good match with them. We've gotten all these great matches, you know, as well. So that segment has delivered. And then this week, Owens comes out and he acts like he's going to accept it, then says, no, I'm going to wait till Battleground. And Cesaro comes out and he and Cena tear the freaking house down, man, and have this awesome match. And then Owens, who stayed ringside to be a part of commentary, he ends up jumping Cesaro during the match when it looks like Cesaro might win. And he beat both of them up with pop-up power bombs and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to be the guy that takes down Cena for that U.S. title. No one else is going to do it. It's going to be me, and I'm going to do it at Battleground. So I thought that made a great amount of sense. That's one of the few times that I thought a DQ made a lot of sense for everybody involved. And now is the big argument for a lot of different people that are saying, well, doesn't that show WWE right there that Cesaro has something? Because we all know about that podcast that Vince McMahon did, you know, with Stone Cold, where he says he lacks charisma and there's still something missing about Cesaro. We still don't get to see him talk that much. And that obviously is a missing ingredient. We know he can work, but the fans are into him. And I hope that they give him an opportunity to talk. And so that way, you let him prove it on his own merits.
Yeah. I don't know that segment alone convinced Vince McMahon or anybody probably really that Cesaro is ready, because he came out there and did what he does best, which is have a great freaking match. Good for him. I think Cesaro is talented from here to the moon, right? And that's us. We think that. The internet thinks that. That's not going to convince the uppers in WWE because they have their vision of what talent and what success is. But I'll bring it back to this. This booking between, and I think it's been fast, but this booking between Kevin Owens and John Cena and having the United States title in this picture and having the NXT title in this picture has been nothing short of fantastic. This is the feud of the year. And there have been some damn good feuds this year. But this is the feud of the year so far. And it's because of simple, smart storytelling. Like last night, Kevin Owens comes out, accepts the challenge, and then says, never mind, here's your real opponent. That's smart. It makes the fans hate you. He's so good on the mic. And then he has this attack at the end of it, not just to mess with somebody, but because he's like, no, I want that belt. You can't have it. So I love it. I love what they're doing. And best of all, the outcome is still unexpected. Because whatever happens at Battleground, there is a legitimate chance. We don't know who's going to win. Kevin Owens could win, or it could go on SummerSlam and he could win there. But they have built him up as a credible competitor, and it has done a lot for both John Cena, for Kevin Owens, and it's even helped other guys like Cesaro, Neville get over these great lengthy matches.
2 points here. Number one, if you notice during the match, the screen went black for about 3 seconds. That was not a production snafu. Come to find out, WWE deliberately made the screen black because Cesaro started giving uppercuts to Cena, where he got him down on knee and gave him rapid fire uppercuts. And then went Stone Cold Steve Austin, bam, bam, with him, you know, with a little.
I thought he just said pinkies though, right? Wasn't it just pinkies?
No. He gave him the finger. He went double gun salute on him. And so they had to blacken that out. The other thing about that, and I hope that doesn't hurt him going forward. The other thing going forward is, you talked about NXT, and obviously Kevin Owens is still the NXT champion. Maybe not after Saturday, and we'll get into that later when he takes on Balor over in Tokyo. But remember when this feud started? Remember there was a lot of focus about the NXT champion and coming from NXT. That has now gone away, and it is transferred to, I want to be the U.S. champion, and rightfully so. NXT, to no fault to their own, but has the buzz around NXT, I think there's a lot of people still excited about it and should be. But remember, there was this great groundswell for it, you know, around WrestleMania and then even afterwards. But now we got Owens coming up, and there's been some injuries. And now that buzz is not there. There's NXT has cooled off. Now, mind you, there was about nowhere else they could go. I mean, when it came to going up any further, considering what they've been doing and the amount of shows and their game plan and everything. So I've noticed that, too, you know, like because Sami Zayn being injured and Tommy being injured, and you've got, you know, Samoa Joe's been there for a little while now, and Kevin Owens, while still doing some NXT stuff, he, you know, he's now on the main roster a lot more. So the shine is a little bit off NXT right now, but it's not because of anything they've done. It's just because of the circumstances that are there. And now it's transferred when it comes to this feud of, yes, he is the NXT champion, but he wants John Cena's United States Championship on the main roster.
I think that buzz will come back too. Closer we get to SummerSlam, they'll do another NXT special somewhere around there. It'll bring it right back. They'll have another big debut. They'll sign one of TNA's fallen talents, and you know, something will bring the buzz back coming into SummerSlam in the hot fall season, you know, SummerSlam, Hell in the Cell, Night of Champions. And I would not be surprised to see Night of Champions have the NXT title defended on it this year.
Well, here's another thing too, okay? I was surprised a little bit that they did not have Finn Balor on Raw in one way, whether it was he was actually physically going to be there. I even had I had done a Periscope while I was on Periscope during Raw, and somebody had thrown out there like, maybe Balor will face Cena, because it makes sense, because then you open them up to that big audience on Raw. People get to know him a little bit if they're not following NXT, and maybe you like him and that can give you an incentive to go out of your way to watch him take on Owens on Saturday, right? So I thought maybe he would, you know, be the guy that would challenge Cena, or he would at least be on the show in some way. Maybe they would show part of that video package that they did on NXT that's on the network now. It's like a 30-minute doc, like explaining who Finn Balor was. But they never did that. They mentioned in commentary about that match, but when they did the Tokyo ads, I don't think they even mentioned, you know, Finn Balor's challenging Kevin Owens for the NXT Championship. It was more about WWE is doing a show, it's in Tokyo, and Brock Lesnar is wrestling on it. And they, even when they showed those ads, like there was more promotion for Terminator Genesis or whatever it is, the next Terminator movie, than there was for the WWE show in Tokyo on Saturday.
I am so puzzled by the fact that they cannot promote this show. This is a huge event, y'all. This is essentially an overseas pay-per-view that's being shown in the WWE network with Brock Lesnar wrestling on it. And the best you can offer is a commentary mention about it. And
well, let me bring up the promo. How about this? So if you've noticed too, they've gone out of their way to not talk about who Brock Lesnar is facing. We know it's Kofi Kingston, okay? So what has happened over the last couple of weeks? Not only is Brock Lesnar facing Kofi Kingston, I think we can all figure out who's going to win that match. Who's been taking the pins the last 2 weeks on Raw when the New Day are out there having matches? Kofi Kingston. The guy that's going to face Brock Lesnar in Tokyo.
I don't get it. Why would you waste an op? This whole card is so weird because it feels like they literally had a hat full of wrestlers' names and then just drew a whole bunch of them out and said, oh crap, this card is sucky. Look, I censored myself there.
Who can take the F5 the best? Who can take that bump and really fly through the air and get crushed? Hey, Kofi. Yeah, you'd be good for that.
You think that's what they based it off of?
I have no idea what they did, but I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, just think you got to have your good guys go over because you're doing an overseas house show essentially, right? But you could have Brock Lesnar face any number of heels that would have a great match with and have him win. I don't understand why you haven't been building this card anymore.
Well, here's another thing too. When I talk about NXT and, you know, they're dealing with the injuries, you know, and now Owens is being brought up and everything. So he's being phased out of NXT. And I think we all expect Balor to win the NXT championship on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll see if it happens. But there is also an argument that if he does win it, even if he does win it, and there's been some talk about this because WWE has been talking about bringing him up. This has been going on for over a month, that they're very protective of Balor. What if he wins the NXT championship and still comes up and he feuds with Owens next after Cena does?
Okay.
There is some belief that even if Balor wins the NXT championship, that he is not long for NXT and he can be brought up very soon.
Okay. So, okay then.
That's really starting to deplete NXT.
Sure. But let's okay, that makes a little bit more sense because then your card is centered around these two guys. That's your main event. So we believe that match is going to go on last, right? Owens versus Balor.
I hope it goes on last. Let's put it that way. I mean, remember there was some belief that maybe, who was it? The match that we just saw on Raw was going to go on last. Hold on. I'll find the lineup for that.
I was under the impression that it was going to go on last, which would make a certain amount of sense because then you put these two guys together. They main event an overseas pay-per-view, essentially, or a main overseas house show, whatever you want to call it. But it's for the title. It changes hands. And you build up his stock so much that he is ready for the main roster.
Here it is. I had thought at one point that Cena and Ziggler against Kane and Barrett was going to go on last because it has Cena, right. But I don't know that I mean, obviously Owens and Balor should go on last. Okay. There's only two title matches on the show. The other one is Nikki Bella against Paige. So, and who knows, maybe they want to put Brock on last. I don't think they should, but
Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston is your main event.
What a Kofi main event, Kingston, everybody. Back in the main event. Stick picture. In there. Watch a man maul in Tokyo.
I mean, Vince McMahon's like, Kofi, he's ready for a push now. He's ready for that main event.
Are they going to have like Godzilla, like inflatables, like you're breathing fire when Brock Lesnar comes out?
That's my Godzilla impression.
Right? Sure, why not? So,
thank you.
Oh, God. But I'm just saying, I mean, that's when you look at NXT right now, I mean, Zayn's going to be out till October. Tommy's going to be out probably till next year. You know, they've got Samoa Joe there. You know, they've got Tyler Breeze there. It looks like they're starting to do some with UA Nation. But outside of that, I mean, you know, and hell, you can make the argument too that when Sami Zayn comes back, how long is he going to stay there? Because originally he was the guy that was getting brought up, not Kevin Owens.
Yeah. I think they'll be fine. I think what's going to happen is they're going to have a big show with all their talent, some of their talent that's leaving, and the talent that's still down there, put them all together, one big show after SummerSlam, and it will reignite this with a whole new generation of NXT people.
Let's see. What else do we like on Raw?
Oh, but okay. I know we can't dwell on Raw all night, and I don't really want to because we got to talk about King of the Mountain. But I had to ask you this: what title means more in the WWE right now than the United States Championship?
Well, obviously not the U.S. Not the Intercontinental Championship, not the tag teams. You can make the argument, and it should be the World Championship means more. Because the people involved in it.
Hypothetically.
But I mean, they've done a great job in elevating the United States Championship and making it important again.
If you had to watch one match from Battleground, would you watch Kevin Owens versus John Cena or Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins?
Now that is Interesting. Honestly, I would say Lesnar Rollins, because I'm very curious to see what they could do. Both guys are tremendous workers. And as good as the matches have already been between Cena and Owens, I've seen two of them already. I'm looking forward to the third one, but I want to see Lesnar and Rollins.
But it's the rubber match. It's the match for all the gold, all the glory, right? This is, I love it.
That's the same thing for the world championship.
No, but this is the rubber match. It's a built-up feud. John Cena has, and I'm not a John Cena fan, but he has become the working man's championship, or the working man's champion. I love it. The United States
championship. He's the modern-day Tully Blanchard of the NWA when he had the television title.
Freaking right. I mean, he's like, you know, when John Cena, I mean, when Chris Jericho re-elevated the TV title down in WCW, that's what John Cena has done. And it has been so great. I got to pray.
Did Cena stand out there and talk about his 1,001 moves now that he's expanded his repertoire?
See, he's like, now I have 11 moves, 12 moves. By the way, that stunner, can we just stop it? It's
dude,
terrible.
That thing was ugly, man. He's five got, left. Dude, ah. He does not have 5 moves of doom anymore. He has 7 because he's also doing the flip over.
Whatever.
So,
which was like great novelty act, but don't do it every week, man. Don't do it every week.
Yeah. It's like a modified Canadian destroyer or whatever. So,
somebody get it right. Somebody corrected us last week and said, no, that's not a Canadian destroyer. Brian Fritz is an idiot.
My ass. But they said it is. They need to watch TV a little bit more. Couple other things. And by the way, I thought overall there were some good matches on this show. I mean, you obviously had the Cesaro-Cena one, which I thought was really good. I thought Sheamus and Neville had a good match. And by the way, somebody that actually is getting a push right now or has a title or is important, and that being Sheamus, because he is Mr. Money in the Bank right now, actually won a match clean. It was amazing. No DQ, no count out, no interference, no somebody walking down the ramp going, yoo-hoo, and there was a roll-up. None of that. You won it clean, rightfully so. The tag team match.
Wait, was that the guy from the wait. Was that the guy from the old Mortal Kombat games that would pop in off the screen? Yoo-hoo! Yeah.
Yes.
Is that what that was?
Yes, absolutely.
That was great.
The 8-man tag wasn't spectacular, but I mean, it was solid. There was nothing wrong with that. It was a fun little match. The women actually got time. And had a good match. And I think they got time because it was two of the better workers. But you had that are on the main roster. But Paige against Alicia Fox was a good match. And they got time. And Paige won clean.
That was a really good match. And we were talking about great matches on this show. And that was a surprise match. It went over at least one commercial break. They gave it plenty of time. Mm-hmm. And it was solid. It's what we need to see more of from the Divas division.
We do not need to see more of Dolph Ziggler hanging out with Lana because they have no chemistry. There was no reason, in my mind at least, to break up Rusev and Lana because of the great chemistry that they have. And by the way, if you don't already know this, people, they're dating in real life, okay? But they have genuine chemistry. They work well together. The act, to me, had not grown old, even though it had been there for a year. There was still a lot of life in it. But they wanted to, hey, let's break them up because people are starting to chant now more for Lana. And rather than working on, hey, let's just get them to turn heel on her more or get them to boo her more. No. Let's break them up. We get these big plans for Lana, whatever they were. And then it all got thrown out the window because Rusev got injured. So they're not even letting Rusev get healthy. Like, stay at home for a month, get healthy, whatever. No. This poor guy is out there at a foot injury or an ankle injury, hobbling around on crutches and having to fly to a different city every week so he can be part of these horrible storylines to where Ziggler and Lana look totally awkward together. And now you've got Rusev with Summer Rae for whatever reason, all because I think they're going to do a mixed tag at SummerSlam. The whole thing is just a mess.
Yeah. I will say this. They have the door open that if they ever want to put Lana back with Rusev, it could happen very easily. I did like, however, that Lana played up how much Rusev had influenced her in her decision to be pro-Russia and the way she talked and the way she acted, because as that accent kind of fades away, we can now say, oh, that was all Rusev's fault, and it kind of gives her an easy out there.
I really thought that they're going to do this on Raw, where Rusev, when he was talking about Lana, was going to say, you're not even really Russian. You're not even this. You know, you're just faking it because you, you know, because I brainwashed you and convinced you to do it or whatever. And I thought like her accent was just going to go out the door, but they didn't do that.
That's too smart for WWE booking, right?
I mean, at one point you're going to do that, but how about Rusev is on the road making sure nobody steals his woman, which happens so many times in wrestling, even though people talk about that. I don't think it happens as much anymore just because the times have changed a little bit. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but so he's on the road making sure he's with his woman, but also he's got this injury and they're making him go out there. They're making him fly around, which can't help heal it. And he's hobbling around on crutches and they're making him. I mean, he was supposed to be this big, tough Russian guy that, you know, stood up to everybody. And now he's just, you know, it's almost like you want that guy's sympathetic now because he's out there with an injury. He lost his woman and Ziggler's bragging about it, throwing his face. I'm like, who's the baby face and who's the heel in this dynamic?
Yeah, it has weakened my image of Rusev quite a bit, which is a shame.
And the last thing, I want to hit on one other thing here too. I know that his career is winding down, and I am not saying that he should be the world champion or even vying for it, but I am shocked that Mark Henry has turned into a glorified jobber, okay?
Oh.
He came out and got knocked out by Big Show in about 90 seconds, okay? I don't get it. Unless he's injured and really can't do anything, I'm surprised that that is how they're using Mark Henry.
My, how the mighty have fallen. I mean, Henry was at the top of his game 3-4 years ago, and they've just, it's time to pack it up and go home, man. Let's call it a day.
He ain't going, no one's getting admitted to the Hall of Pain anytime soon, man.
Yep. Nope. That thing, I think the Hall of Pain is closed. I think it's down, out for business.
They don't even show his music anymore. I mean,
nobody's going
to
get,
remember his music starts, someone's going to get their ass kicked. No, that's you, Mark. That's who. Unfortunately, I mean, that's, and I like Mark Henry too. Overall, I'm not saying he has great matches or whatever, but I'm just surprised that that's how Mark Henry's being used right now. So,
okay, I got a question for you.
Okay,
this is our choose your own adventure moment of the podcast this week.
Ooh, let's see what direction we go in.
Okay, you can choose to have your cheap pops moment. Okay, we'll get our cheap pops moment in here at about the 45 minute mark, or you can choose to have your tough enough rant.
I'll go with cheap pops.
Okay. My God, True Detective is a fantastic show, and it's well-written, and it's super, super, super professional. But has it been slow this season or what?
I love it. I think
it's it's been slow, man. Love good it. Gravy. Good
I don't gravy. Want to put it away. I mean, the ending on the second episode was shocking.
Okay, yeah, okay. So you had a two-minute segment that was shocking. Everything else has been like, okay, twiddling my thumbs. What's going to happen next?
They're trying to make the show different than last year because last year was all this mystery and intrigue and Rusty Cole trying to explain the universe. I was like, so far out there, man. And then now it's a little bit more of a formulaic cop show, I guess. But they're trying to give the background on everybody and what they're really like, you know, and you're finding out that Rachel McAdams with her whacked out family and, you know, Colin Farrell, you know, is trying to be the father of a kid, you know, that he didn't father, but is acting like he really is his father. And there's a bunch of stuff going on there. And he's, you know, him and the kid's mother have broken up and, you know, Taylor Hitchens out there and he's beyond messed up. That dude's got a death wish or whatever. And he's the youngest of the group that are investigating this murder. And you've got politics in the city. And so, I mean, they're trying to tell the full story. And remember, the whole show is only like 8 episodes. So they're trying to give all this background without rushing it too much.
I think the characters are fine. I think the characters are great, actually. They're super Colin awesome Farrell characters.
Is awesome. That,
he's but they should let them do man. Something, man. Let them do something else other than just walk around and driving cars, man.
They're setting it up, my man. They're not just sitting in cars. Come on.
You only got an episode. You only got 8 episodes. Let's do more than set it up.
What about the one cop, the one detective that just shows up with like the half beard, the big fat guy that just kind of lays
oh, yeah.
like, you got awesome. It, man. I got it. I like him. You know, he was on American Crime on ABC.
Oh, I wanted to watch it. Was that any good?
It's really good. They're bringing it back. They're doing a second season.
Cool. There's your cheap pops moment. Okay, my other rant. Are you ready for my other rant?
Bring it.
Tough Enough. Tough Enough was terrible. Oh, my God. It was terrible. It was like they took everything that I loved about Tough Enough and ripped out its heart. Okay? Which, okay, fine, do that. And they made it like that crappy NXT run on ECW. You ripped out my heart, but don't bring up that crappy NXT run back on Sci-Fi when it was ECW, you know?
They are trying to do way too much with that show. You don't even get to know the participants that are involved because, I mean, after you cut out commercials, you got like 44 minutes, they do the setup where you've got Jericho and whoever else talking about, you know, the show and what's coming up and everything. You've got the judges and the vote at the end. That's taking up time. Then you've got the different competitions during the show. Once you scale all that out of there and you talk about the time to get to know the people that are actually the contestants on the show. And I say contestants because now it's like half game show. What are you getting? 8 minutes, maybe 10. I mean,
yeah.
How are you really getting to know these people? I mean, that's, it's really, really tough. There's just too much going on. You've got three judges, you got Jericho, and I know people are trying to get on Jericho, but I mean, that's the role that he's being asked to do. He's not being asked to be to do Stone Cold, okay? It's a totally different role. They're not asking him to do anything similar to that, and instead, he's just trying to, okay, here's my line, and I got to guide it to this, and I got to guide it to that, and I got to throw it to Paige, and I got to throw it to Hulk Hogan, and I got to get a response from this person that's, you know, on the show. So it's just way too much they're trying to accomplish.
But he's hamming it up, too. The part of the problem is he's like all like, all right, guys, here we go. Now cutting over to Michael Hayes in the studio. Like, he's kind of hammy. It's kind of cheesy.
That's, I think, what they want him to do, man.
Here's Daniel Bryan with your contestant of the week. Like, that's what it feels like.
Hey, I love that Daniel, like, got ticked off at the guy he got ticked off at Hank. And Hank's actually a nice guy, but can't call anybody small, man. You can't do that. And Daniel Bryan pointing out about Tanner, like, you called him small. That dude's bigger than me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was funny.
Well, Hank even made it worse because he said something about women, and Paige didn't like that. So, yeah.
There's also the issue that they were able to defend themselves after all the votes had been in. It was like, everybody vote for your favorite based off zero knowledge. And then after the votes were in, here, defend yourself. Wait, what? That doesn't make any sense.
I want to bring up this point too, okay? I'm sure he's a nice guy. I don't get where all these people say, that CeCe, man, he's got so much charisma. He doesn't, to me, man. I mean, I wanted to see that guy get voted off. He's not going to get voted off because it's a reality show, too. And there's going to be a lot of people going, I'm entertained by this guy. What's he going to do next? What kind of wackiness is this guy going to do? Is he going to bring an alligator onto the show? Is he going to get into a spot naked with the ladies again? Let's see what happens. So, yeah. I mean, he's going to stick around, but, oh, man. He's, you know, I'm just looking at it a little bit of a different basis than a lot of other people. I'm not looking at the reality show way. And like I said, we're not getting to know any of these people. And ZZ, he's going to fail every competition from now until the end, but he will stick around for a long time on the show because people will not vote him off.
Yeah, it's sad that this is what Tough Enough has become. Tough Enough should be about the best talented, not whoever people think looks the best on TV. You know,
is Parker about to do a run-in over there?
Can you hear him? There's thunder in the background.
I absolutely
guess there's a river.
Your dog.
I'm getting ready to let him in the room because he's barking and it makes it really hard to talk about wrestling when my dog is barking. He's super cute and super sweet. So if you're watching us on the video, you'll see him in a minute. But there's a really bad thunderstorm rolling in too. So if I lose you, Fritzy, you're a one-man show.
Nobody wants any of that. So you're going to go get Parker? Okay.
I got to go get him right now.
Go get Parker. In the meantime, some of the other things you want to hit on. Dolph Ziggler. And we'll get to TNA here in just a minute. But there's I talk about Dolph Ziggler with his contract coming up and people are wondering what exactly is going to be happening with him. He did an interview with the Boston Herald. It made it sound like, hey, I've re-signed. This is where I want to be and I'm staying. But then I believe that was either over the weekend or he did it on Monday. But I know on Monday he was on Chad Duke's show up in Washington, D.C. And he says, I have not signed a new contract with WWE yet. We're still talking about it. We are still discussing the different terms of a contract. And he says that he's got other projects that he wants to pursue, including movie roles that will help him become a bigger star, will help enhance him in WWE as well. And this is what Ziggler was saying. And he's like, I can't do that right now because I only get a couple of days off a week and I need more time. So he said he might, and it's nothing guaranteed yet, but he might actually step away from WWE for a little while so that way he can pursue those and help make himself into a quote-unquote bigger star and then would return to WWE. If he does do that, he's not going to TNA. He's not going to Global Force Wrestling. Could he wrestle some matches? Maybe, I don't even think he would go to Ring of Honor. I don't think he would do anything with another group that has TV, and he would just do a spot here or there because they probably pay him a ton of money. And then when he wants to go back and wrestle full time, he'll go back to WWE. So I don't think he's going anywhere. We'll see exactly where. I mean, obviously he's trying to negotiate with WWE. Give me some time off so I can pursue these things, but you still have me under contract, and we'll see if they're going to give it to him or not.
Yeah, it's interesting because Ziggler himself has said he enjoys being in WWE. He's been there for 10 years. That's his home. That's his family. And so I don't think he really wants to go anywhere else. But I also think he's somewhat delusional if he thinks WWE is going to give him time off to explore other opportunities to make his star bigger, because obviously they haven't been interested in doing that so far. And I understand that he wants to try to expand his life beyond wrestling and do his stand-up comedy, and I respect that. But it's not the kind of thing that you can really negotiate that well when really WWE has most of the power here.
Oh, absolutely. So we'll see exactly what happens, but it's not like Ziggler's jumping to another promotion. So I think people need to get that out of their head if they have that thought right now. So let's talk a little bit about Slammiversary from over the weekend. Yeah.
I'm actually not going to rant about Slammiversary, man. I mean, I'm going to rant about Tough Enough. I'll rant about True Detective, things that people love. But Slammiversary, which is wrapped up in all this controversy, actually, I do have a TNA rant ready for you.
Bring it.
The next person that tells me, you need to support TNA or you're not a real wrestling fan, I'm going to punch them right in their snaggle tooth right here up front, all right? Listen, people. TNA, okay, that show Sunday night, sure, a lot of fun. We enjoyed it. Yep, there were some good spots. There were some bad spots. Okay. Their production quality was kind of crappy, too. Okay. Whatever. But
smart stuff.
I have full rights to call TNA out because, you know what? They don't pay their employees. And I think that is bad for the wrestling industry. I think it is bad.
They pay their talent. They just don't pay. Well, they pay their production people. They just short them money and pay them like more than 2 months after they worked.
That's ridiculous. Those are the guys that make your show happen. The talent, sure, they're the centerpiece. But those guys freaking make your show happen. They make it look good.
They're all jumping to Global Force Wrestling.
As they should be. When I said a couple of years ago that TNA should go out of business, this is why. Those guys that have talent, they will be talent anywhere they go. But when it comes to what TNA is doing to those guys behind the scenes who need these jobs, right? They're like, yeah, you can walk if you don't want to worry about it. They don't have a job lined up. Some of them do now with Global Force, of course. But
well, some of them did. It's bad for the business. I think someone gets ticked off because they're all freelance. Okay, when it comes to production people, and some of them travel around the country, okay, and work for other sporting events and things. But there's some that are just local that they do not travel. And those are the ones, and there's people that do production that have done it for a long time, ever since TNA's been down in Orlando. So that makes it tough, you know, I had the report that I had people calling me again. It wasn't like I was calling people from TNA. I had people calling me again and telling me about it. And I was like, I'm going to put this out there about how there was so last week they did the live Impact on Wednesday. They did tapings on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then Sunday was Slammiversary. And after the taping on Thursday, the production people had a meeting with Ron and Don Harris, who are now in charge of production staff. And they were all told, hey, by the way, you know, those tapings that you worked in May, you're not going to get paid on those until at least July 15th. And they also said, if you're not happy about everything, feel free to shake my hand and you can walk. So, I mean, I'm not blaming the Harris twins. But that's a tough position for them, and it's a tough position for the staff too. And it's not fair. It's not right. I mean, you should be paid within 30 days, if not sooner. And that's the industry standard. And people are having to wait, you know, 60, 70 days for the paychecks. And, you know, those I had it reported as well in a previous article about how people are getting shorted pay as well. You know, and it wasn't just like a little bit of money. I mean, it was like $1,000 or more. I mean, I had heard it was like an average of like $1,200.
That's ridiculous, man. I mean, when you are messing with people's livelihood like that, I have very little. I know times are hard, right? It's hard times, right? I get that. But there are other people out there. Ring of Honor, you don't hear these stories coming out of there all the time, right? This is not coming out of Ring of Honor.
Correct.
So do your business right, or I have no sympathy for you. Talent will be talent anywhere they go, okay? And they will have fans anywhere they go. It's not okay to say, oh, TNA gets a pass because they had a good show. No. They still are treating their employees crummily. I also wanted to point out, Brian Fritz broke this news. So if you are a fan of Between the Ropes and you were supporting Brian Fritz, he's the guy that brought this news to the limelight. A good old-fashioned investigative journalism. We appreciate it, brother. It's an important issue, and you are the man.
Hey, man. I call it investigative journalism. I was told about it, and I reached out to other people that I knew, and it was, you know, I've had two stories about the production thing. And I also had the story on Saturday morning, which I did this the backwards way. I should have written a column about it first on Sporting News, but me being backwards, for whatever reason, I broke the news on Periscope. So I do that every now and then. So if you should follow me on Periscope as well. But I broke the news that James Storm had asked for and been given his release from TNA. Now, basically, I don't know if he's going to be back. It sounds like he's not going to be back as a member of TNA. He could be, but not under contract. Like, he could work on a per-night basis. Like, Magnus, his last night was Sunday. His contract actually ends, like, Tuesday. And the same with Storm. But he's going to Global Force Wrestling, and he's a free agent. And see, he's not signing a deal with Global Force. He's just agreeing to work dates for them and be under their banner. But he's not signing a deal with them. It's a per-night basis. And the same thing with Appel and Storm. So he's out of there. There was talk that Taryn Terrell and Awesome Kong, you know, had the same thing happen, that they were out. But that's going back and forth. There are people on the company going on Twitter and saying that's not a true report. And I've heard other people say, no, that is true. So it's just, maybe it's just semantics. I don't know. But there's obviously some major problems going on with TNA. I know people say, well, they're going out of business right now. Well, they just did tapings that take them through the first week of August. At the end of July, they're going to be in Orlando at Universal Studios for 9 days. Okay. There were some people saying, like, man, that was a long, hard 5 days of work that they just did. They're going to be down here for 9 days. One of those is a day off. But that's 8 days of work that they're going to be doing, okay? And they're going to be filming TV all the way through the end of September on Destination America. All the way through when it's most likely they're gone from Destination America. And we don't even know what is next after that. So they're going to be filming all their TV then. So it's kind of this wait-and-see thing still. No one is surprised that Jeff Jarrett won King of the Mountain. And, I mean, no one was surprised by that. And now we got to see what's going to happen next, because there's going to be an invasion angle, okay? So Global Force Wrestling, which has no TV, and there's still a lot of people that don't know anything about them, don't even know what they are. We still don't know exactly what they stand for, what kind of product. I mean, they've announced the names for a roster, but we really don't know that either. But they're going to do an invasion angle with who knows what people against TNA. And it sounds like TNA is the one that approached them about it, calling Jeff Jarrett 3 or 4 days before that Impact that he was on, the live Impact last week, saying, Jeff, come back, be on Impact, win King of the Mountain, we'll make this match for you. We're going to put you in our Hall of Fame. And on top of that, let's do an invasion angle with Global Force Wrestling, because we asked Ring of Honor to do it and they turned us down.
I think it's just, hey, Parker. I know this Parker, is my dog. What's going on, buddy? From the live show. Parker wanted to be on the show today because he said, it's really scary outside. We have a terrible storm brewing through. So if I get blown away, Wizard of Oz style, that's why.
At least I'm sitting here because this way Parker cannot pee on me like he has done in the past.
What does that say about you? I think it's a sign how desperate TNA is right now. They approached Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor is TNA's main competitor. No matter how you slice it up, Ring of Honor is gunning for their spot on Destination America on TV. They want to be number two. And they approached Ring of Honor about doing this cross promotion. They could feel the momentum. Ring of Honor said no. So they go to Global Force Wrestling because there are some big names attached there, like Jeff Jarrett. And to let Jeff Jarrett come back and win what could be your last pay-per-view event ever, to win the main event of that in the way, nothing against Jeff Jarrett, but that was not a main event worthy main event. You know what? Just King of the Mountain itself. Yeah.
Try to explain King of the Mountain. Let's put it this way. I was talking with somebody that works at TNA during that match. And I said, or right before the match, I said, explain the rules of King of the Mountain to me real quick. And he goes, hell if I know. I mean, people don't know. People do not know. I mean, and the rule is if you get pinned, you go into the cage for 2 minutes. I mean, we weren't even
sure. You go into the penalty box.
You go into the penalty box. And then the winner of the match is the person that can put the belt up on over the ring. So
It's... Well, and there was a great spot in the match where Matt Hardy was pinning somebody, and Josh Matthews had to clarify that the reason he was pinning this guy was because even though Matt Hardy had already been qualified, because you pin to win, right? If you pin, you can get the belt and put it up. Even though Matt Hardy had already qualified to be able to hang the belt, that he had to pin this guy so that I forgot who it was, maybe Jeff Jarrett, so that he could pin Jarrett to put Jarrett in the penalty box so Jarrett couldn't win. And honestly, Jarrett spent most of that match in the penalty box anyway, so it felt like one heck of a fluke of a win.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we all knew who was going to win that match. And you know what the weird thing is too? Okay, so Jeff Jarrett wins that. He's the outside guy coming in. He's also going to be the guy that is going to be leading an invasion angle on TNA turf from Global Force. So that would make him be the heel, right? But not only did he win this match, win it clean, but then he brought his family into the ring to celebrate.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So it's...
And a good guy or a heel? I don't understand how the...
There's so many things that are going on with TNA. It really feels like, and I don't know what the deal is, it feels like one day you're going to be watching on Destination America, and it's going to be TNA Wrestling, and the following week it's going to be Global Force Wrestling. I don't know if that's going to be the case or not, but that's really what it feels like. And, you know, if this is the end for TNA, it is a sad, sad way to go down for a group that at one time had potential not to take over WWE, but to be a great alternative and was running great shows with a lot of good talent, being something different than WWE. And they had
this could be the greatest takeover angle of all time. Listen, if your competition comes in to take over and then they win and they take over the company and the time slot on TV, this is the greatest. Listen, they tried it, right? WCW invaded WWF, but they were never going to actually take over. If Global Force Wrestling takes NWO, it invaded WCW and they tried to take over, but it didn't happen. But if Global Force Wrestling comes in, takes the time slot, takes the TV, takes everything, they are the greatest wrestling. This is the greatest wrestling takeover angle of all time.
It's sad, man. It is sad what TNA has become. And there's plenty of people there that are very, very upset about it. And they're upset with Dixie Carter. And it's funny because Jeff Jarrett was back. And nobody knew about that, too. There's plenty of people that were pissed off going, how come we didn't know that Jeff Jarrett was coming back? You know, why are you keeping us in the dark about this? And they just don't trust her. They don't like the things that have gone on management-wise. Jeff Jarrett shows up, and there's so many people that respect him. They don't have respect for Dixie Carter. And it's just sad what it's become. Dixie, I think, is a good person. She is not good at running that company, though. And now we see what's happening with it, and they're hanging on by a thread, and we'll see what happens. So we'll get some questions here in just a minute.
What was your favorite match? Before we get too far away, Slammiversary, your favorite match?
Well, you know, I was only there for half of it.
Okay.
I had a fun night at Universal Studios taking selfies of myself around the theme park. And by the way, there were almost no lines. So I, you know, as a single rider and everything, man, I got in and everything very quick. And I went to both parks, by the way, but I did see the second half of the show. I don't know. I didn't see the first couple of matches, but I heard that X Division title match was really good. It was pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah, I liked
it. I'll say this. Magnus. James Storm and Magnus, they really busted their humps, man.
Yeah, I think that was pretty good. James Storm is, he's looking a little worse for the wear these days. Austin Aries had a great match. It was a good show. I mean, not a good show overall, but those couple of matches were entertaining, and they were, they were good.
I want to remind everybody about our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/between the ropes. Please support us there, whether it is $1 a month, $3 a month, $5 a month, whatever you can contribute goes a long way in making sure that we keep doing Between the Ropes, doing this show, doing other podcasts, doing the website, and even doing more. Like we said at the beginning of the show, we're going to be doing some giveaways for people that are already pledging us on Patreon. We're going to be doing some giveaways now, and the only way you can win them is if you're supporting us on Patreon. And we had some new supporters this past week, so we got to do some shout-outs here. Or actually,
all right, let's do it.
We got a handout for everybody that pledges to us. We have to give them respect. And that's what we promised. So It's time to hand out some respect.
This is respect from between the ropes.
So
between the rope,
Bruce Wood pledging $5 a week. Week. $5 a month. So we're going to start following them everything with social media we can, with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. So big time respect for Brewster. You're cracking open another one?
No, but that was my microphone was supposed to be muted. That's Jeez, I'm not drinking anything. It's the same beer I had before.
Bottled a can now. Look at that. Number two. DeMarc Jennings, man. Big time respect. $7 a month he's pledging. It's huge. Huge. So we'll be following him on everything social media as well. Chris Rich Creek pledging $5 a month. Big time respect for you, Chris. We'll be following you on everything on social media as well. Mike Castellina, $1 a month. Big time respect for you too, Mike. I appreciate it. Mike, I know has been a longtime fan of Between the Ropes, so I recognize the name. Hey, $1 a month, man. That's huge to us. We'll take, you know, it's great. You're supporting us. We appreciate it. And the other one is John Peter Horn Upsall, who is another, I recognize the name, another longtime follower Between the Ropes. He's pledging $2 a month. So big time respect for you as well, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
Also, again, of course, thank you to everybody who has given to us, who is helping us continue to do this, who appreciates our hard work. We will be doing the giveaway. Listen, guys, chances are in your favor. You have a 1 in 10 chance of winning your own copy, signed exclusively by Brian Fritz of WWE 2K15 for the PC next week.
And if you don't like the PC, receiving a personal email from me with the code for it.
That's as good as a signature in the eyes of signature collectors, okay?
Sure.
But if you don't like that, we'll get your mobile copy, iPhone, Android, Amazon. We're gonna work with you. You get a free copy. But I got to say, there is John Cena himself is in our chat room right now, ladies and gentlemen. John Cena has been talking to us all day, giving us ideas, tips on what he thinks matches that would be great for this show on Saturday. And John Cena, I'm going to call to you personally and say, if you're watching us and if you appreciate what we do, John Cena, in the chat room, you're a rich, rich man. And we would appreciate it if you could just give us just a little small sliver of that fortune so we can keep doing great wrestling coverage for all those BTR fans out there.
Absolutely.
John Cena, it's on you, buddy.
I'll wear the shirt. Right. Hustle, loyalty, respect.
And on that note, we're done, man. It's over. Oh yeah. Questions. Okay. If you want to get us up on questions, facebook.com/between the ropes. You can ask them in the chat room. You can email us directly. I'm not going to give our email addresses, though, so good luck finding them. And you can call me. I'm around sometimes. our own Sharon Watson writes in, giving us some great columns over at our website, betweentheropes.com. My question for the Q&A, it doesn't seem like Dean Ambrose will have a high-profile feud on the Battleground card. Is that a good idea since he's been in the main event picture since Payback?
That who again? I'm sorry.
What was that question? It doesn't seem like Dean Ambrose will have feud on the Battleground card. Is that a good idea?
I don't know.
Because he's been in the main event picture for months now.
He has. Maybe they do something with Ambrose and Wyatt. Maybe that's where Dean, where Bray Wyatt goes next. If Roman Reigns splits off to Rollins, maybe they do something with Wyatt and Ambrose.
Do you think it's okay to have guys be in the main event picture for 2 or 3 months and then disappear from TV? Or disappear from the spot on the card, I should say, not from TV.
Well, I mean, as long as you have a strong spot, it doesn't have to necessarily be for the championship, but it's still going to be in a good position. Otherwise, it just doesn't make them look good. I mean, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, though. It's hurt him in the long run, and I think it's bad.
I agree.
All right. That was answered. We got that one done. Kyle McVicar. Mac Vicker. Kyle writes in, I love asking Mike questions because he can't pronounce my last name. It's Scottish. Well, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm American. And here in the South, we have accents that are...
If it's not Scottish, it's crap.
What do you think of Jeff Jarrett's return? I think it's incredibly fascinating. I think what was the best part was that all this news broke last week that Jeff Jarrett had bought TNA and he was going to the live taping to announce it.
No, my favorite part was that I was telling you about some of this, that Jeff Jarrett's going to be there, and you called me and you're like, what do you mean he's going to be there? How do you know he's going to be there? And I'm like, there are fans at the show right now because even though it was the live version of Impact, it wasn't really live. And people were taking pictures of Jeff Jarrett walking around around ringside, shaking hands with fans before he got into the ring. And people were taking these pictures and putting it out there on Twitter going, well, Jeff Jarrett's here and he's getting into the ring. I know. Yeah. I was asking, I asked one wrestler, I go, hey, man, I go, have you seen Jeff Jarrett there today? I go, there's a rumor he's going to be there. And he goes, I don't even know what you're talking about. What the hell? Jeff Jarrett might be here. And I go, yeah, I go, keep. He's like, I haven't seen him. Okay. And Jeff, by the way, like was hiding in his car with his family until it was time to go out. And then I asked him again later on. I go, hey, man, have you seen Jeff Jarrett there yet? He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. Jeff is not here. And 30 seconds later, he texts me again. He goes, wait a second. Jeff is in the ring right now. Like, yeah. Jeff Jarrett is there.
That's awesome. That was just a crazy – it's one of those – you don't get these moments very often in wrestling anymore, but these huge surprises that are just like, no, that's not actually – there's no way they're – holy crap, they're doing it. And while it wasn't as big as what people were trying to make it up to be, it was still a big moment. I was trying to explain this to my wife. If Jeff Jarrett had actually walked out there and said, I bought TNA, that would have been one of the biggest moments in wrestling history. It would have been, in my opinion – as big as Vince McMahon buying WCW.
No. Because what's he buying? Here's the thing that people say, well, Jeff Jarrett's going to buy TNA. What's he buying? If they do not have a television deal, they're not worth anything. They're worth $5 and a ham sandwich. Okay?
We tried that. They didn't accept our offer. So right. Maybe they're not even worth that.
So if you do not have a television deal locked in, like a long-term television deal locked in, or as long as you can, which... you know, the day and age of, you know, a 10-year wrestling deal is not going to happen. But if you don't have television locked in for a couple of years, what's the point? What are you buying? Because if you don't have TV, it's not important. You don't, hell, and plus on top of that, who's not to say, and I don't know how much conversation Jeff has had with Destination America. I don't know if they would be interested in him. But who's not to say that TNA's deal with Destination America doesn't end at the end of September and then Jeff and Global Force Wrestling just jump in there after that. So what would be the point of buying TNA if Destination America is going to be dropping TNA?
But well, part of it is, okay, I do understand. I'm not saying it makes the most business sense. And maybe I overstated by saying it was as big as Vince McMahon, WCW, blah, blah, blah. But I think what does make sense is the TNA brand. It has a loyal following. I mean, people ask about it every week.
You mean of a half million people that actually watch the show, or the 425,000 people that watch the TV show?
Go do a poll. I guarantee you, among wrestling fans, among general fans, more people know TNA than they do Global Force Wrestling. You're buying your way.
Who knows what the hell Global Force Wrestling is?
Right. You're buying your way into that marketplace, and you're just going to improve that product. Now, you're starting from somewhere ahead of the
curve. You don't need to buy them. All you do is, hey, one week TNA is gone. The next week, Global Force Wrestling is on.
Yeah.
If Destination America wants them. That's the other thing, too. They've got to want them.
They're not going to. Ring of Honor is where it's at, baby.
Hey, remember, Ring of Honor only has a six-month deal with them. I'm not saying, it's not going well or anything like that, and I don't know what they're paying. And I think Ring of Honor is going to stay on there longer. But remember, that's a six-month deal, and it's structured differently than TNA. They're getting very little, if any, money from Destination America as part of that deal. And it's not first-run programming either. It's first-run on Sinclair. They're just replaying that show on Destination America.
Yeah. All right, next question. I think that's going to go away too. Honestly, we're talking about Ring of Honor. I think that syndication deal is going to go away long-term if Ring of Honor sticks with Destination America. It only makes sense because Destination America, you can't get. I get Sinclair. I get Ring of Honor every week, just not on DA, you know? So, I don't know. Next question. Mikolaj Tomas Barney writes in, hey, greets from Greece, Matala. I hope that's not a curse word. It's quite hot here, and I'm reading George the Animal's bio. So what do you think about the A-Train and Prince Albert gimmick instead of the, he called it an Animal Junior gimmick for Tenzai?
Oh, God.
I guess he's asking us, what do you like the A-Train Prince Albert gimmick better than the Tensai gimmick?
Oh, yeah. Tenzai gimmick was horrible. I mean, that one, who thought in the year, what was that, 2013, that a big guy from Japan just doing power moves with an Asian manager would get over? No.
Do you remember that? It was so great, too. He brought in, it was People Power, right? It was,
Laurinaitis introduced him or whatever. My name is John Laurinaitis. I am Marty Funkhauser from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, God. He is, man.
Yes, he's Marty Funkhauser. Come on. But, I mean, that gimmick was destined to fail right off the bat. And the funny thing is, too, that he's getting rave reviews for now being the head trainer for NXT at the Performance Center.
Yeah, because those guys have a mind for the business. They may not have to be main event superstars to understand what works in a training program.
Remember, he was a guy that did okay with WWE, but left, went to Japan and became a star over there and was doing really well, and then decided to come back to the United States, obviously where he's from, did the Tenzai gimmick, and it bombed. And then he even became, from dastardly heel, it didn't work, to a guy that was, dancing around, with, the Funkadactyls and all that. So, and then now he's hanging around by being a trainer. He's reinventing himself and he's found a good niche.
And meanwhile, Brodus Clay is overdoing something in TNA.
Right.
While his
how would you feel,
entrance from WrestleMania.
By the way, how would you feel if you're Brodus Clay and this happened? Okay, Tyrus. So, you've been told originally by TNA, yes, you can work Global Force Wrestling dates. And then TNA goes, no, we changed your mind. No, can't do it. Nope. So he has to say to Jeff Jarrett and Global Force, I can't do the shows. I'm sorry, TNA, say I'm under contract, can't do it. And then you're there on Wednesday night, and out of nowhere, Jeff Jarrett comes walking in through the back, and TNA is going to be doing an invasion angle with them. How would you feel if you were Tyrus at that moment?
Oh, God. Burn. That's, oh. Oh, that's tough, man. That's tough. Poor
awkward.
Guy.
By the way, did you see? Oh, my God. You want to talk about awkward moments? So they had all this other video footage, like behind the scene, Jeff Jarrett coming back to TNA and all this stuff. So they had this one video where Jeff Jarrett and Dixie Carter were hugging. And then right when they stopped hugging, they both like turned, and Austin Aries was coming from that side and like came perfectly timed right when the hug ended and like they were not embracing and they both kind of turned and like he looked right at Jeff Jarrett as he was walking by. And I think they had motioned to shake hands, or Jeff hadn't done it yet, but was about to. And Austin instead just kept walking, shrugged off Dixie, and kind of gave this look like, yep, here we go, the wrestling business. Give me a break.
I've heard that Austin is kind of a prick sometimes, too.
Though. That was classic Austin Aries right there. Classic. And by the way, his contract is up with TNA as well.
So where does he go next?
That is a very good question. He is a free agent.
NXT?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that if they had wanted him, they could have had him already, I think. And while he's super talented, I don't know if WWE would want that personality.
Can you imagine if WWE just started going through and buying up all this NXT talent? I mean, not NXT, I mean the TNA talent, and just started making TNA talent wrestle on NXT. This would be great. NXT becomes TNA version 2.
I mean, one of the hottest names that's out there right now, and I'm not saying they're going to get him or have any interest. There's been a rumor about, but the guy that I think you'd want right now when it comes to being a hot name is Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
Ring of Honor champion, yep. Television champion, had the biggest night of his career, of his life, as he said, when he won the ROH championship recently. And, he has just improved and improved and improved and is at the top of his game, and he loves wrestling. And, there's a variety of reasons why you'd want Jay Lethal if you could get him.
Yep. Okay. Last two questions, because we want to keep it under an hour and a half so we don't draw our fans in for forever.
Brilliant.
Nick Doucette, our famed fan, writes in and he asks an inappropriate question about Fully Loaded 98 and the women wrestling. So, Nick, we appreciate you writing in, but we got to keep this podcast mostly PG, so we can't ask around the details of the women wrestling. We appreciate it. But we do have a question from Between the Ropes superfan numero uno, Francis. And Francis wants to know, Brian, what did you enjoy more, going on the rides or being at Slammiversary?
Going on the rides, especially when there was no wait. It was fantastic.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
Did you see all the pictures of myself, man? I went on a Transformers ride. I think I waited like 5 minutes, okay? So, and normally, I mean, that's a good 30 or 40 minutes. I waited like 5 minutes, single ride line, okay? I walked right into the Harry Potter section. Gringotts, which normally is at least an hour wait, they had a single rider line open. I walked right onto that ride. I went in Men in Black, walked right on that ride. I got on the Harry Potter train, right on it, and I went over to Islands of Adventure. And guess what? I went on Dueling Dragons over there, whatever it's called now. It used to be Dueling Dragons, big roller coaster. And I got to go on that as well with no wait. So I had a great time. Nothing against TNA. I had a great time at the theme park, though.
Oh, yeah? Wait. Can you... it's not ready. Can you say that one more time? Can you say, I had a great time at the theme park one more time?
I had a great time at the theme park.
That's for you, buddy. That's for you. It was better than this. I had a great time at the theme park.
I did.
God, I love it
when it's like you go away at night, you go see, you know, even if you're with somebody else, but you go single rider line, there's nothing better than going to the theme park and not having to wait in line. And I'm so spoiled living in Orlando. Like, I have an annual pass to Universal Studios. I have an annual pass to go to all four parks at Disney. So I am like super spoiled. Like, I'll see if a line's like 20 minutes, I'll be like, nope, too long. And there's people that will wait when it's 95 degrees and 100% humidity and wait an hour in line for rides because they come here on vacation. And I'm sitting going, no, man, that thing says 15 minutes. I'll just come back some other time, you know?
Sorry, I was not really listening to your story. I was trying to pick the right.
This is not an episode of All in the Family, Chief.
Can we do that, man?
Dude, you were acting like this episode of Between the Ropes is being filmed in front of a live studio audience.
I don't know what that one is. It sounds like a shark. Okay, we should do a themed episode of Between the Ropes where we have a laugh track. We do multi-camera. It could be like a Scrubs did that one time. You know, you had a multi-camera set up.
Scrubs didn't have a laugh track.
They did that one episode.
Oh, yeah, that one episode they did. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You're right. The one that said we got to wrap
gotta this. Gotta go. Okay, we got two more questions. Okay. Francis wants to know, are you looking forward to the new season of Total Divas?
No, I've never watched an episode of that damn show. Why would I?
I'm hoping they follow up with the there's a storyline they drug out a while back about John Cena and Daniel Bryan were having a lumberjack competition, and I'm really hoping they give us some resolution to that.
I don't know if they're having a lumberjack competition. I think that was like one of the early episodes of Total Divas. Like,
it was who can be more of a lumberjack, right? And then Daniel Bryan put on his flannel, and John Cena tried to grow a beard, but unsuccessfully because
he
has
play a real man's job. Man. Did they play William Regal's music from back in the day? He's a man, such a man.
Oh, God, that's good stuff.
He's real.
Any thoughts on the King of the Mountain title? Yeah, it's dumb. It's dumb.
What does somebody's it mean? Really... I mean, who even cares about the King of the Mountain match? And now you got a belt. Dude, that King of the Mountain belt was bigger than the TNA World Championship.
It's the old Legends Championship. Remember when they had that TNA Legends Championship? It was huge.
How about this one? Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine, which has been around forever and a day, announced, I believe today, they will no longer recognize the TNA World Heavyweight Championship as a world title.
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy. Why? Did they say why?
It's not important enough. They said the only world championship they will now recognize is the WWE Championship.
Did they do overseas ones?
I think this is just talking about in the United States.
Okay. We have one good question pop in on the chat room. If you watch us live, you can always chat with us. I'm over there sometimes talking up some smack. Bruce Wood says, with so many wrestlers having podcasts, don't you wish some would change up their formats? Like if Ric Flair would dedicate his podcast to recapping his career 1 year at a time, with a special guest relevant to what was going on at that point.
That would take a lot of work. And that's not something that those guys want to do. They want to be able to have a guest on that people are interested in listening to. I know Rick has another host with him to help out with everything. Some of the other guys like Austin does not have another host. Same with Jericho, same with Taz. But they, you know, they want it to sound good, but they don't want to put in all that work and research and everything. They want to be able to sit down and have a conversation with somebody and, you know, hit stop and let somebody else upload it.
Unlike Mr. Debbie Downer, Brian Fritz himself, I think it's a fantastic idea, Bruce. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
I'm just saying it's just not going to happen.
That's what we're going to do between the ropes. Brian Fritz is going to start recapping his career 1 year at a time. He's going to have a special
guest. There's going to be a lot of people bored by that, man. I can zip through that career in about 10 minutes, okay?
You have a special guest each week related to
who? Who the hell is going to say, let me come on and recap your career. Who?
It's going to be great, man. It's starting next week. We got a new format we're going to roll out. It's Between the Ropes Retro, brought to you by Blowing Rock High County Ale. It's High Country Ale, that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Yeah.
How many of those have you had now? You can't tell county and country apart? Okay.
I didn't read it, man. I'm doing a show here, okay? I don't have time to read.
You can squeeze in one last one.
Okay, do you have it?
No, I don't have anymore. Did you have another one?
No.
Okay, that's it then.
And on that note.
Why
are we so aggressive right now? Why are we so so angry?
Why are you yelling at me? Turned into an episode of Anchorman all of a sudden. So we do want to appreciate everybody for that's joined us live here watching the broadcast and for listening to it later on here on YouTube. Remember, subscribe to us here on YouTube. It's youtube.com/betweentheropes. Subscribe to us, like our videos, share them, and feel free to make comments as well. Check us out over at betweentheropes.com as well. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher to get the audio-only version of this broadcast, plus our other podcasts that we do over there that are only audio-only. If you want to be able to listen to those, subscribe to us and rate us and review us as well. And, of course, we do want to remind you not only to check us out on Facebook, go to facebook.com/betweentheropes. Follow us on Twitter at Between the Ropes, but also please, please do support us on Patreon. Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/betweentheropes. Support us there for as little as $1 a month. It really, truly helps us out. And we appreciate anybody and everybody that can support us there. If you cannot support us on Patreon, please support us by subscribing to us in the other places. But if you can on Patreon, whether it's $1 a month, $2, $3, $5, it goes a long way in making sure we can keep doing Between the Ropes. We can pay for our website. We can pay for the different costs. And it allows us to give us that time to be able to do these broadcasts and more stuff that we want to be doing coming up here. So we really appreciate it. Everybody that's already done that, it's already pledged to us on Patreon and is doing that going forward. We really, really appreciate all of your help. And if you haven't done it yet, another incentive to do it is we're going to be starting to give away some different things here for Patreon supporters, including if you do it this week, next week here on the show, we're going to be giving away a copy of WWE 2K15 on your PC. So we'll be giving that away next week. Anything I forgot, Mike?
All right. Cheers and goodwill to all men.
Are you double fisted now?
I'm just holding whatever's in my hand, which happens to be alcohol. Yeah, so,
all right.
Support us so I can support my habit. I need it.
Exactly. It's unbelievable. He's Michael Wiseman. I'm Brian Fritz. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We appreciate everybody for watching us here on Between the Ropes. Check us out over at BetweenTheRopes.com as well. We'll see you next week.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.